Good morning. Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Major General retired Charles Williams, Director of the Overseas Building Operations at the U.S. Department of State. Joining us in our conversation is Kim Hensman. Well, General Williams, the need for substantial investment in secure overseas facilities was tragically demonstrated in August 1998 by terrorist attacks on our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. How did this experience change the way OBO provides safe and functional facilities for employees and their families abroad?
Paul, that is a very interesting question. The horrific incident that occurred that you made reference to woke all of us up to the fact that we had to do things different from the standpoint of standing up our facilities. We started with hardening the skin, what I call the skin of the building, that is the building structure itself, coupled with providing several layers of perimeter defense arrangements. And this way, this allowed every building that we now are putting in the system to be safer. And I think that made a tremendous difference in the quality of life of our people.
In the past, U.S. embassies were traditionally focused on consular activities for Americans working and traveling abroad. How has this role changed, and how does this impact the way that OBO provides services to U.S. employees and their families abroad?
Well, I think that, too, Kim, is a very good question, because this allows me the opportunity to explain exactly what we are building. Yes, it is a building, but the building is a diplomatic building which houses many functions, not just the consular operation, but many other functions like the Department of Agriculture, for an example, that might USAID, for an example, who's in a very important role, the CDC, looking at disease and so on. So we have a real collaborative arrangement of concerns and equities now in our building.
As you mentioned, the embassies are now used as a platform for activities for multiple agencies. I understand that the Capital Security Cost Sharing Program is an attempt to pool the resources of agencies to improve the embassy facilities. Can you describe this program, and who's involved in it, and what are the expected outcomes?
Good, Kim. I think we have embarked on, with good support from the administration, OMB, and all, on a program that will ultimately get us right in terms of having the resources to correct this major deficiency we have in buildings. By having a cost-sharing arrangement, this allows all of the tenants and partners that I've just spoke about that operate and use our platform, for all of us to come together for a short period of time, maybe 10 or 12 years, put our shoulders to the plow, if you will, and provide resources so that we can build quicker. We have demonstrated, I think, successfully over the last 3 years that we have a construct or management scheme in place now where we can produce facilities quicker and more efficiently. So now is the time for everyone who is involved in this platform that I speak about to come together, and we all push hard, and we can sunset this thing in about 12 years, and we'll have the work done.
Let me take you into some of the decision-making surrounding that. I imagine in the CDC, the Department of Agriculture, others, I mean, there's probably some sense about, you know, some different opinions about the priorities of the request, the specifications, their security needs. How do you work through that?
Well, first of all, we tried to do our work up front, the overseas building operation. We came up with standard embassy design templates so that we would take away all of the we and the they and this type of thing. We made certain that we connected this, going back to my private sector training, to good industry standards. We picked office building standards in the U.S., and so we sized all of our facilities against that standard. So if you are in CDC or if you're in agriculture, or if you're in the State Department. Small issues like room size and conference rooms and this type of thing, they're all standard. So by getting everybody on the same page, we then could say that this is not just a State Department building. We have responsibility for running it for the government, but this is our building. And you could see this by looking at things that look alike. So this was the first way of getting everybody on the same page. And from that standpoint, it's working well. This allows us to build the facilities quicker. These standard design products are on the shelf. They are generically designed so that we can pull them off, site adapt them to a particular region around the world, and we cut off months and even years in terms of execution. So we had to demonstrate several things before we could even begin to talk to a tenant about cost sharing. How quickly can I get it? Are you going to be sluggish? Will I have the same as you would have? So we eliminated those things up front.
Let me ask you a question then about the security needs, because I'm imagining some organizations as your tenants would like to have a great deal of interactions with the public. Others would prefer none, almost by definition. How do you work through those differences?
Well, I chair, good question, Paul. I chair a facilities council, and this meets on a periodic basis where we bring all the tenants in. Some 30 or 40 people are in a room at one time, and we educate them on the ongoing activities of the program. This is what we're building. This is what's coming next. We give them an opportunity to participate and provide input, ask questions, etc. So this is our way of communicating to those who want information and would like to be involved in the way of input, and offer to those who may not have an interest. So that's our vehicle for that.
The OBO is embarking on a large-scale overseas construction program. What are the scope and budget for this endeavor? And how does the evolving role of the overseas embassies and the terrorist events impact the execution of these plans?
Kim, the program today is robust. 3.5 years ago, when Secretary Powell and I came on board, we were looking at a sort of a program in the total of that produced maybe one embassy new start a year. Over the last 3.5 years, with good support from our Congress and OMB, we have now moved that from 1 to 12 to 15. It's been gigantic progress over the period of time. We are now starting over 10 new embassy compounds per year, and we are cutting ribbons or opening about 8 a year. I think this is sending a very strong signal to those who would want to create problems for us that we are very serious about taking care of this program. But the most important thing, what it does for our people. I think our people now who serves overseas, they know that we are trying and to do our very best to eliminate this problem.
As you describe the openings and closings, I couldn't help but think that the embassies and the councils around the world, many must have aged beyond their life expectancy. So I'm curious sort of, you know, how that came to be just in terms of a management question. And also, are the new buildings being constructed and maintained differently to extend their lifespans?
Paul, yes. The first question is we didn't do a good job. And I mean, our government didn't do a good job of watching our portfolio in the past. Our buildings of the existing structures are about 40 years old. The useful life of a building almost any place is pretty much over at that period of time. If you compare that to anything else that the U.S. might own overseas, that is about 20 years older than the rest of it. So we have an aging problem, coupled with facilities that did not and do not meet security standards. We are currently expending over and plan to spend over $1 billion a year to build these new facilities and build them quicker and faster.
You talked earlier about some of the experiences or metrics you got from the private sector to sort of influence your thinking. I'm curious in terms of sort of other countries. Are they dealing with similar problems with their embassies, or are we just very unique?
I think we're unique, Paul, from the standpoint of being more vigilant and concerned about this whole matter of secure facilities. We've been hit hard, and we know if we do not secure the facilities, what will happen. Our colleagues around the world, and we have a good interaction with several of them, they come and visit with us a few times a year, and we do the same. I don't know precisely what they're doing, but we are probably the leader in this secure facilities business at the moment. That's my belief.
OBO is working to becoming a results-based organization. What is this, and how does one become such an organization? We'll ask General Charles Williams of the State Department to tell us about his plans and visions when the Business of Government Hour continues.